The E-12 Education Finance Committee will come to order. And for the members that are here, there is some hot coffee in back, and we have some early harvest grapes that are back there, too. Trying to decide whether it was late harvest or early harvest. We'll say early harvest, so looking forward to summer. We're going to make one change. Actually, I think on the agenda it's two changes, but we'll take Senate File 1625, Senator Skoy. He has a tax committee meeting that he has to chair, so we're going to move that up. And then we'll have Senate File 1279 that accidentally got not typed on the committee. We have the information and everything in your packets on that. So Senate File 1625, welcome, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is 1625. This is an effort to extend the existing pupil count for Red Lake schools. The state has a history of schools that have catastrophic events, allowing them to extend the pupil count to give them time to recover and attract their students back into their building. Red Lake School is making progress on that, but they are asking for an additional two-year extension to the existing pupils that they had prior to the tragic shooting that occurred on March 21st of 05. We did talk briefly to the committee about this when we were in front of you a few weeks ago, but I do have the bill now. I believe the fiscal note is not final yet, so we don't know exactly what the cost is going to be at this time. I'm here with Mr. Hammett, representing the Red Lake Schools, who has had discussions with Commissioner Segrin, and the department is aware of this request, and we are finalizing what the pupil numbers and the costs would be. But if you would have the time, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hammett would have some additional information for the committee.
Okay, thank you, Senator Skoy. Mr. Hammett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Monty Hammond. I work with the Red Lake Public Schools, Red Lake, Minnesota. I'd also, Mr. Chairman and committee members, also like to let the committee know that we're very pleased to have the our clerk of our school district Board of Education with us, Barbara Thomas, who is here with us to help and support in any manner that we can. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I think that Senator Skoy has really summed it up very well, and we really appreciate Senator Skoy's help and assistance in helping us get through this triage that we've been going through for the past couple of years. Our purpose before your committee today, Mr. Chairman and committee members, is to see if the committee would assist us in carrying forward two more years of the extension of the declining pupil aid funding so we can maintain and sustain the programs that have been started in cooperation with the State Department of Education, U.S. Department of Education, and other entities that we have been working with and putting in place for our students. Primarily, number one objective. Two is for the parents in the communities and the whole of the entire education system. It's been very difficult, and we really appreciate your committees and the other committees. We really appreciate the Department of Education's support, Commissioner Segrim's, in helping us and moving forward with some of these new initiatives that have been taken, some mandated since 3/21 of the tragedy that we had at that time, so that we can maintain, sustain, and hopefully start bringing our enrollment back up and moving it forward in a more positive and educational sense for our children and the families and as a community as a whole in this whole healing process, Mr. Chairman and committee members. So we're asking for your help and your assistance in extending what expires, I believe it is June of this year, We have discussed this with Commissioner Seagram. She asked us to come to your committees or come to draft the bill. They didn't get it put in the fiscal notes in the governor's budget in here, but they have supported and have been supportive of what these measures are to move forward with this, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
No, with that, Mr. Chairman, if there's some questions, we can stop and go over there.
The number of students that are currently open enrolled, do you know what that number is?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, yes. That current number is 282 in the last filing that they had with the state of Minnesota here. And this was here just in the last month and a half. February 23rd is the report that I got for the last filing. This is pretty much, there's been pretty much the same, Mr. Chairman, and we're starting to get a few of those back. Few of those students back from previous from the 321.
We had an opportunity to visit right before committee meeting one thought you mentioned was that it's consistent with what happened at Columbine in terms of the time it takes to get kind of heal wounds of the community and have a comfort level that students feel like they can come back. And what actually was your experience when you went out to Columbine?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, if you wouldn't mind, I'd ask Dolores maybe to come up and help. We were visited there together, so I may forget some of these things, but it was a learning experience. I hate to say this, but having to learn from the disaster and tragedies of our young people, educationally, from the system's point of view, the Columbine school system went through a total remake of the high school in the area. They basically have went through totally when we were there. To all new high school faculty, primarily, and the folks that that were there at the time have left. The school system, physical in the buildings, you would not know them from the pictures and the aspects that what he showed. The principal, Frank Angelos, was there for 27 years. I don't know if he retired this year or not, Mr. Chairman. But they saw some of the same things, and he predicted this is what we would see. We're going to see this drop in enrollment. We're going to see these things happen. We're going to see staff leave. We're going to see administrations leave. Just the administrative side, Mr. Chairman, we are, since 3/21/05 to today at 3/14/07, we're on our fourth high school principal. And also assistant principals. We have new counselors in the school. These are areas I guess are very difficult for us to understand, but when we look at and focus on our only element that is important to us, and that's our children, we have to try to come up and try to put in place an objective educational plan. I think that with the State Department of Education, with the Board of Education that we have, who has been fantastically dedicated trying to move this process forward, are doing a great job in making sure our children in these years now are starting and hopefully are going to expand on their educational levels, Mr. Chairman. Maybe Dolores can add some things on the Columbine.
Welcome. If you could give your name for the record, please.
Dolores Cloud Hammett, Ridley Public Schools. One of the other things that were very prevalent when we were there was the the renovation of the building that took place completely, renovated the entire structure, was renovated, which followed through in our school. And the principal there told us we were on the right track because we were only about 6 months after the shooting when we went out there to visit the school to see how they cope with the process. And he, again, reiterating what Monty has said, is that they have a complete turnover of their staff. All the students there who were involved in, who were actually very close to the area where everything happened, were all left and went to other schools and were experiencing that, but they all start coming back after about 3 or 4 years. I also want to mention also, which is a very important factor, since we are a closed reservation up there and we have our school is a community center, actually the schools are actually community centers of each community that is up there, which has a school. We also are undergoing what we as traditional people of the Red Lake Reservation call a traditional healing process of 4 years. And after the 4 years is completed, we should be able to resume our everyday normal life if we ever reach that normalcy. Thank you.
Okay.
I also have to report that the students who were involved, who were in the rooms and involved in the shooting, are about 60% of them are back in the school. And two of them made the honor roll this past quarter. Thank you.
Wonderful. Congratulations. Any questions? Just on the members on the fiscal note, we don't have an actual fiscal note, but on the sheet that we have, it is... it has zeros on it, and I think, at least from what I understand, Mr. Nauman tells me that in 08 we have a $609,000 cost. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I emphasize that these are preliminary numbers that I took off the budget system, and I know the Department of Finance is going to yell at me for using preliminary numbers, but it was $607,000. On the budget system this morning, and $67,000 for an 09 for a fiscal year 09 impact. And I hasten to add that at this point the fiscal numbers are not tracking an entitlement impact for fiscal year 09, which leaves me a little surprised and suggests that maybe the fiscal note has not yet been fully vetted. And of course, if we also add money onto the formula allowance this year, that would generate a higher cost for this provision.
Mr.
So I think there's reasons to be suspicious of the number at this point.
Are you talking suspicion on 09?
My concern, Mr. Chairman, is that as the budget work is done on a fiscal note, they will update as they go along, and they may have simply completed the work for fiscal year 2008 and I grabbed the number before they have been able to complete the work for fiscal year 09. It's possible there is no pupil impact for fiscal year 09, although I'd be suspicious that it would drop from 135 pupil impact to nothing.
Okay.
In 09.
All right, so that's the information that we have, and that will be updated, I'm sure. So, any other questions that members have? Senator Weger, do you want to move Senate file 1625? Doesn't have to be any amendments. Okay.
I would make that motion for possible inclusion in the omnibus of Ed Finance Bill.
Okay. All right. On Senator Weger's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Senator Scoia, and thank you, Mr.
Thank you very kindly, Mr. Chairman, committee. Thank you.
And Senator Dill, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate File 1603 is a bill to allow the Eden Valley Watkins School District to levy some additional money to pay for a mercury spill that occurred in the school, which I believe the total cost was $130,000. It was earlier estimated at $150,000. Now, this school district's one half in my Senate district and one half in Senator Michelle Fishbach's district. And I, Mr. Chairman, does Senator Fishbach already have a bill in front of your committee?
Senator Dill, she did. And okay. I was just wondering, is this the same mercury spill or is this a different one?
Obviously, the school district would prefer a grant to help pay for this. So it's exactly the same thing, but this is a backup plan.
Okay. I think if Mr. Nauman is in the room, we had a proposal that we were looking at, and it went a little bit like that we would loan the money to the district, and then over a period of several years, we would allow them to just levy a part of it to pay back the loan. So it would be basically it would be similar to what we did with the Carpenter bus school buses that school districts that were unsafe for school district use.
Okay.
And so it was basically an interest-free loan that allows the district over a period of time to kind of take care of the problem. And it seemed like, according to the superintendent that was here, that was totally fine with him. So.
Yeah. The superintendent did mention that to me yesterday. We were trying to decide whether we should go ahead with this bill this morning, pull it, or what. And he did mention that he had a conversation with your staff following Senator Fishbach's hearing, and that would be an acceptable plan B. Of course, it would be desirable to get the cash and just pay the bill and not worry about the levy. But
well, you will get the school district will get the cash.
Okay.
They'll be able to pay the bill. And that'll go out in FY or fiscal 08, so middle of the summer, right? Typically.
Mr. Chairman, I would anticipate that will go fairly quickly in the middle of the summer, yes.
Yeah, so I think that'll achieve the goal that the school district wants. And does that satisfy your intentions then?
Well, that's kind of a combination of the Fishbach bill and this bill that's before us, so that would work.
All right. Okay. Members, if we have a motion just to lay Senator Dill's bill on the table, it'll actually be kind of combined with the Fishbach bill. Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman, just as a clarifying point, and I don't know if Senator Dill has the answer to this question, but when we had testimony before, Senator Fishbach's bill carried an impact of $126,000, and this bill is $150,000. I'm just wondering if there's updated information on this.
Yeah, members, the earlier estimate was $150,000. That's where the number got in there, and we didn't know for sure what the final bill was going to be. And I understand it was around $130,000, and you say it's $126,000.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, I believe the testimony was $126,000.
Okay.
Before we finalize it, we'll double check to be sure that the exact amount gets taken care of.
Okay.
All right. Right on. Who wants to make a motion? All right. Senate File 1603 will be laid on the table for consideration in the omnibus education bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted.
Thank you,
Senator Dill. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you.
Welcome, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senate File 991, Mr. Chairman, is a request by a Floodwood School District to do a fund transfer from their Disabled Access Fund to the General Fund. This is an amount of money that's left over after they've already done all of the Disabled Access Code updates that they needed to do, and so they just want to transfer the money to the General Fund. And I have Teresa Sorensen here with who's a principal at Floodwood, and she can do a better job of explaining it.
Okay, welcome. Please give your name for the record.
Okay, Teresa Sorensen, principal of Floodwood School. Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee. Our school, Floodwood School, is the only school in the district. It's the only building in the district. Our district office is also housed there. The building is ADA compliant and was certified so by the state inspector on September 18th, 2003. The district had levied $300,000 locally to gain ADA compliance, and in doing some research found that it was more cost-effective to construct a new building than to make the previous building ADA compliant. So then the district levied money for a new building, which we gained occupancy of in September of 2003. Since we've used roughly $40,000 of that $300,000, and the balance of $266,950 has been sitting in our ADA fund for some time. That money was levied locally. Our independent auditor this year, Eichel and Schilling, made the recommendation that we move that money from the ADA fund into our general fund. Since the 2004-2005 school year, the district has been experiencing declining enrollment of approximately 12% a year. But of our enrollment, 154 of our 384 students are open enrolled. We've been a progressively educating district. We are a part of an applied learning initiative that you will hear about at some point this session. We are involved in school redesign programs and are trying to give our best to give students the best education possible. And we are working toward that is reflected in our high percentage of open enrolled students. Also, we are one of the poorest districts in the state. The average household income in Floodwood is $30,000. It's operating levies wouldn't gather us much money. So we are asking, at the recommendation of our auditor and on behalf of the district, to move that $266,950 from our ADA fund to the district's general operating fund.
Thank you very much. Senator Scogin?
Mr. Chair, we just have a difference. We may need to clean up the language there a little bit. She's talking about a different number than the bill shows.
You know, I'm judging mine off an email, and I see Senator Tomasoni says 550, so I bet I had a typo on the email I received.
226.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay. Mr. Nauman?
The language does say transfer up to. So as long as we had the number high enough, we could clean out the account.
This number is
we just need to know what's in the account.
This number is lower by 40.
Mr. Chair, we just need to know what's in the account.
Agreed.
Ms. Sorensen, do we have an account balance?
Ms. Sorensen?
I'm going to go with the account balance of $226,550 because my number is coming off an email, and that could, my number could be erroneous.
So just leave it the way it is.
I'll stand by the $226,550.
Mr. Chairman.
And the language does allow up to that, you know, $750, so it's fine.
Okay. Allows up to what?
$750,000.
Oh, it does.
So.
Oh. But not in this bill, though.
Oh, I'm on a different bill.
Okay.
Take the money.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take the $750.
I was wondering why the large disparity, but
he's got the card.
Okay. All right. So what do we?
Mr. Chairman,
what do we need, Senator Thomas?
I'm just wondering if, just in case her number is right, do we want to put $267,000 in the bill? And because it does say up to.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, whatever's in the account.
Yeah, we won't be able to transfer money we don't have.
All right, we'll have staff check to see what the exact amount is and plug that amount.
Okay.
Okay. We don't have a sheet on this, a fiscal sheet, but I believe that does have a levy impact, a certain amount. But I think we have done these in the past. So with the fact that you got everything's ADA compliant, and it sounds like it'd be interesting to know that decision about first trying to bring the school buildings up to ADA, and then either they weren't in condition to do that, so you actually decided to build a new school was probably a thought after. But anyway, Senator Meager, do you want to make a motion?
Yes.
And then we'll just have staff check on the exact amount so that can be plugged in. Right, on Senator Weger's motion on Senate file, is there any discussion? Anybody else have questions on this? Okay. On Senate file 991, as we just a direct staff to make that adjustment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
Need to be on the right. Bill. This is next, we have Senator. Let's take Senator Coring. That's all right. Senator Coring here. Members, on your agenda, that one was added. We have the information in the packet. Somehow we just missed the putting it on there. And since you have somebody from out of town, we'll take Senator Coring.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that $750,000 was Mr. Dickinson's money, so he was getting a little worried over here sitting.
Thank you for not transferring that away.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and committee members, thanks for letting us hear this. This is the first time that Steve Dickinson has come down here, and so he left Brainerd about 4 o'clock this morning and making sure he would get down here on time. So I'm going to turn it, Mr. Chairman, right over to Mr. Dickinson, who is the business director for the Brainerd School District, to explain why they want to do this fund transfer. So,
Senator Coring, do you know that Brainerd is the center of Minnesota?
It is the center of Minnesota.
It is.
Yeah.
And how many hours did it take to come down?
Yeah, he left at 4 o'clock. He just wanted to be sure that
not
he
take would. 4 hours.
No, he sat and drank coffee over at the Kelly Inn for 2 hours. So he's pretty excited, I'll tell you.
And I'll be out of here in 5 minutes.
we're not so sure.
Make it tough on you.
Okay. Please give your name for the record. And
thank you. Steve Dickinson, the business director for the Brainerd School District. I did lay out a handout that has more information than you need. I'll give you the 15-second version first. The issue for us in adopting our next year budget, fiscal year 07-08, is in the pink box. That's a negative number. The Senate file 1279 is requested.
Oops.
Ooh.
Okay. Kill our senators.
Do we need some help over there?
Everybody all right?
Fine.
Oh. Thanks your entrance.
Bring him a check.
Never know. Mr. Dickinson.
Yeah. So the issue is in the pink box. That would be our unreserved fund balance at the end of next year if this request hadn't come up or is denied. The request for Senate File 1279 is to transfer up to $750,000 from the green box, our operating capital reserve, into our unreserved fund balance in the blue box. If I went to my one-minute version, you can see if you follow along the middle yellow line, you can see that we've used up a lot of fund balance, especially in the last four fiscal years. At the same time, we've made about $5 million of budget cuts, which represents about 8% of our total budget. Within that, the biggest impact is we've lost about 8% of our teaching staff during that time. So, the issue is, and obviously this is a one-time fix, probably a last-time fix within our budget. We're anticipating that we'll hold an operating referendum in November of 2007 and find that it would be prudent for us to not adopt a budget that has an ending fund balance that is negative.
Mr. Chair, Steve?
Yeah, that's my short version.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just say something. You know, I think if you look at this sheet, and I'm not scolding anybody, but I would just say that being the way that the legislature has funded education in the last couple of years, you can look back to see what the fund balance was for the Brainerd School District and how it has just depleted down to nothing. And they're going to be in statutory operating debt in a hurry here. And so I'm quite concerned. And they're laying off teachers. They're trying to make cuts. And so, you know, we've got some serious problems, not only in the Brainerd School District, but a lot of school districts. And I think with Steve's sheet here, it kind of points out the direction things are heading. So I just wanted to point that was off the subject, but I just wanted to point out.
I think just to kind of jump off on what you're saying, Senator Corrigan, this information that you've provided us is very, very good. It's really all the information we need, and it's interesting. It would be very nice if all of the districts would provide us that kind of information mm-hmm. when we, you know, come in for a fund transfer or whatever they're requesting. It's amazing all the information you've got here, but. It looks like you're right. The fund balance is not going in the right direction.
No,
by any means.
No. There's definitely a larger issue being portrayed here, and I'll have you know I put the real language of what the request is near the bottom, but at the very bottom you see that. We're forced to make some assumptions about the next two fiscal year budgets. This is assuming that the state does actually provide a 3% increase in the general ed formula. But that's beside the point for now.
And then if I could say one other thing, Mr. Chairman, for many years, the school district had enough money in their fund balance, so that was their cash flow account. Now that the fund balance has gotten so low, it's my understanding, and Steve, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but now they're having to borrow money and paying out interest to make things cash flow. And so that's not a good thing either. So,
Mr. Dickinson, the assumptions that you make for 08 and 09 include the 3%?
Yes, that's correct.
So actually, if you did not include the 3%, would that have any impact on the 07 or not?
07? No.
So you would actually slip into statutory operating debt in 08?
We would probably make additional cuts so that we didn't get into operating debt. I think operating debt is actually 2.5% negative. We would probably go negative, but not in operating debt.
Okay. Do you know what your special education cross subsidy is?
Yes, I do. It's about $3.1 million per year. It's roughly, if that issue were resolved, we wouldn't have a budget problem in our district whatsoever. $3 million is roughly our annual budget issue right now and has been for the last about 4 years.
Okay. Senator Torres-Ray and then Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just really appreciate this chart, Senator Corrine, because it really helps us understand what is happening. So I can't resist to ask the question. We don't have money to pay for this. Are you going to vote for tax increase in order to address these issues? I'm sorry, but I just, you know, everybody is showing this kind of trend, and I just don't know how we can resolve this. All of us are in the same situation. Everybody's coming with these tables to show us that they're not going to have any money, that they don't have any money right now, and they are going to be in debt, Mr. Chairman. So I just don't know. Why don't we say this? We have to ask the questions to the senators. We have to respond to their needs. We have to do something about this. We can't let the districts continue to go in this direction. So the question is, how do we do it? And I feel very strongly that we have in order to do this.
Well, that's an interesting twist to the.
Yeah. and Mr. Chairman,
that's the question. We don't want to talk about it. That's the question.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we and I understand
Senator,
the passion, but I don't think we put.
Be careful, Senator Corrine.
I don't think we put.
You don't want Senator Corrine to lose any more hair over. Yes.
No. And just to make sure to clarify, that Senate File 1279 is not a tax impact or a state impact. This is just transferring our own money from one pocket to another. But you're certainly right.
I understand that perfectly.
Oh, okay.
But you're not going to have any money to transfer in 2 years from any place to any place. So what are you going to do when you don't have any money to transfer from one pot to another? Where are you going to go?
Right.
That's my question. You know, right now you have the money. But you're showing in this chart, and this is what I really appreciate, is that you're not going to have any money in 1 year. So how are you going to make a transfer then?
Right, and this is with a 3%, an assumption that we're going to get 3% more on the general ed formula. And and maybe there will be even additional, maybe some cross-subsidy assistance also. But even with that, we're headed for operating debt. So we've told our board almost certainly we will be holding an operating referendum in 2007. I'm highly confident that it's going to pass with a lot of work, a lot of hard work and education for the community. But if it were to fail, we would be cutting almost $5 million in 1 year. We just cut $5 million in the past 4 years. We would now be looking at cutting about 10% of our budget in 1 year. That right now, Brainerd School District is a star in the state. It would no longer be a star. That is for sure.
Can you can you just maybe go one level lower on the problem? Is obviously it must be declining enrollment. Is it open enrollment or what exactly? Could you just maybe.
No enrollment issues. We're fairly flat enrollment. Open enrollment, we're a net winner of about 100, I believe.
So it basically hinges around the special education.
Oh, on the revenue side, yeah. Okay. You could easily point to that as one example of purely the gap. But also the other issue is that education got 2 zeros in a row, and we're still not recovering from that.
Okay. All right. We have a number of questions. Senator Bonhoff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dickinson, you did partly answer the question I had, which was how hopeful are you about your operating referendum? And then I just wondered, have you done that in the past, and how successful? What do you think the climate is, and how large will it be?
Honestly, we financially, we should have had an operating referendum a couple of years ago, but the climate was definitely not right for it. We didn't want to do one on the general election day last year. We do have a small operating referendum that we passed in 2001. It's about $200, extremely low in comparison to state averages. So our story about our declining fund balance and the cuts that we have made is a pretty easy story for us to tell the community. The tax impact is a tax impact. When we decide after the state is done and we decide our number on our ballot is going to be whatever it is, $500, $700, and there will be a tax impact, I'm not sure how that's going to go. I don't necessarily think that the dollar amount on the ballot is even going to matter. I think it's going to be a matter of us asking our community, look, the yes or no question is not even a yes or no question. It's a question of what do you want your schools to look like in the Brainerd area for the next 10 years?
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair. So yesterday we had a chart where we showed what school districts, what percent of their total budget was on operating referendum. So yours would be exceedingly low.
Yes, very low.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Wergen and then Senator Saltzman.
Mr. Chair, I had just sort of a general statement relating to the last question because I wasn't really afraid of Senator Torres-Ray question. In the first place, Mr. Chair, I don't think you got enough of the money that's out there because this is our number one priority in my book. And number two, I think we ought to take a good chunk of the one-time reserve and help school districts somewhat with some of the one-time expenses that don't have any tails. So I do believe we could help schools probably more than we are.
Senator Salzman?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I think that this last comment that Mr. Dickinson said, what do we want our schools to look like in terms of the Brainerd community? And those of us at this table, what do we want our schools to look like? We should be the ones who should be having that decision and not going to our communities. We had some excellent testimony yesterday from PS Minnesota. And here we are again. How are schools going to bail themselves out of this situation? And it's by asking parents to spend months and months of time trying to raise money through an operating levy. Why should parents have to feed their children pizza for, you know, five nights a week while they're out campaigning for operating levies when parents should be home helping their children with their homework and, you know, parenting issues? But we ask our parents to go out and pass these operating levies. And in my community, we are plain tired. There was a meeting just a couple nights ago in Stillwater. We failed a levy. And people are just plain tired. I've worked on operating levies, and this is not what we should be asking our parents to do, is to go beg senior citizens to pass operating levy. I'm kind of fed up with operating levies. I've been through them, and it divides communities. That's why we were elected. We were elected to come here and fund our schools, and it's a, you know, obviously we all have different ideas on how to do that, but I'm very concerned that we look at this figure of $4.7 million and expect that maybe we can give them a 2 or 3% increase, but that's not going to really cut it. And we need to have a serious discussion, and we need to ask the hard answers, or excuse me, the hard questions, and ask people, as you have, Senator Torres-Ray, on where is this money going to come from? And if it's going to be coming from our communities and property taxes, I believe we're going down the wrong road. Do I have an opinion? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, can I just comment? Can I comment on that? I guess I have the utmost confidence in Mr. Dickinson, but I guess I'm not as optimistic as he is, and I hate to say that, Steve, but about passing a referendum, because I like to think I have the finger on the pulse of the people that I represent, and I got to tell you that they're at the breaking point as far as property taxes are concerned. So I think we'd have to do a hell of a sales job to try to sell that to them. But and I guess that's our only option. But I think we all need to be concerned about that, because I think we went to the well quite a bit. We've seen property taxes. I can't speak for anybody else's district, but I can tell you in my district, their property taxes have sometimes doubled and tripled. So it's a concern.
All right. Thank you, Senator Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Coring, when they double and triple, what's the dollar amount that they're starting with?
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you could have $10 for your property tax, and it would double, and it would be $20, and it still might not be too bad. I don't know how much well, is the base of what you're trying when you when
or
you
Mr. say Chairman and Senator Olson. I'll give you an example. I own a commercial building in town that in the front I rent out to a barber shop, and I rent out to an attorney, and in the back of the building I park my hearses. It's a commercial building. I bought it 5 years ago, and the taxes when I bought it were $1,000. Now, when in May, when I have to go pay my taxes, they're going to be $2,300, and that's in 5 years.
And that's commercial.
That's commercial.
And that's your 6 month.
Thank
payment.
You, Mr. Chair.
That's half
my,
of your payment.
My question to Mr. Dickerson was what's your main expenditure driver? Because I noticed you're in 05 and 06, there was a blip down in your revenues. That's making a comeback in the 06 and 07 with the 4% that
correct.
We obviously nobody's arguing that we didn't go through some difficulty, but your expenditures you've not been able to constrain them at all. And if you're stable and even growing with open enrollment. What's driving that?
Well, as any school district, over 80% of our budget is in people costs, and the bulk of that is in teachers. So what's happened is we have constrained costs by over $5 million. We have taken all these numbers would be higher, and our deficit would be about $5 million worse if we hadn't done those cuts in the past 4 years. Our superintendent and our board are at a point now where they're saying, okay, we're done making cuts. Now is the year to go and ask the question. The legislature, there's no way you could provide us enough money in 1 or 2 years right now for us to turn around this financial slide. So now is the year we have to go out and ask for an operating referendum and ask the question, what do you want your district to look like? If it fails, then we'll make the huge cuts and really change the quality of education. So far, the cuts that we've made in the $5 million, and I don't mean to demean them at all, but over 40 teachers, over 14 education assistants, two administrators, a number of other things. So far, it hasn't severely impacted regular class size. It's eliminated some special programs. It's eliminated a lot of specialty teachers. But our next, that was $5 million of cuts. Even our next $1 million of cuts would just significantly impact class size.
And Mr. Chairman, partly lost my train of thought here. I'm sorry about that. Oh, I'm sorry that Senator Saltzman left, because was just about ready to go on my tirade about property taxes and the games we play with them around here. You know, we hate it, and we talk about relief, but all we do is play political games with it rather than coming to grips that we have a tax that has changed its character because of property becoming a commodity. And yet, on the one side, we hear people at that table wanting to go back to more stability, and that's the stable one because people have to pay it or they're going to lose their property.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, at some point we need to wake up and do something with that, because we're not going to do it the way we continue to move on. So that's my little stump speech for now.
If you do want to continue that discussion, I know it's not exactly relevant to 1279, but I have another expert here, Brad Lundell. Do you know him? Okay.
I think things were going your way here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say that we're just fortunate to have Steve, because as you can see, Steve knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is good information.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
On that point of getting back to the real subject, your capital, your operating capital, do you just levy that to the max, whether you have needs for budgeting? Because I noticed that part has been growing.
We had built it up because we did have a building project about 3 years ago. So we had built it up in anticipation that construction costs wouldn't cover everything and that we would need extra money to equip this and that. But
Mr. Chairman, the other reality is that this is not I think the operating capital is not one that if you end like debt service that you would reduce the property tax levy. This is an operating fund, so it would seem to me. I think we have made some of these fund transfers with less guilt than we might with others.
That's a terrible way to say it,
isn't it? I'm sorry.
It's true. As Catholics are guilty anyway. carry a lot of that around. Anyway, you're right.
Mr. Chairman, strike that last name.
So, all right. I think everybody's had an opportunity to share their observations on this bill. So, Mr. Lundell.
Mr. Chair, you're forgetting the expert over here. Right. I was going to say, Steve, I'll pay you out in the hallway there. But Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the reason I want to jump up here, we're starting to talk about the Brainerd operating levy for this fall, and Mr. Dickinson is optimistic, Senator Caring less so. But I think that one of the things I want to point out is that Brainerd is one of those districts that has seen tremendous property wealth growth in the last decade. And again, as I've talked about a lot this session, the equalization factors have not been adjusted for 15 years, and anything that can be done in that area. Senator Saltzman's not here, and I agree with Senator Saltzman completely in the long run. It'd be wonderful to get away from the arbitrariness of the referendum levy, but unfortunately, in C this year, I've got at least a half a dozen prominent districts that are going out this fall or are seriously considering going out this fall, and they've each experienced this property wealth growth and the dwindling amount of state aid coming on their referendum levy. And so I think that anything you can do to help hike equalization, it would be greatly appreciated and would certainly increase the prospects of passage of these levies, which are absolutely crucial for the continued excellence in districts like Brainerd.
And Mr. Chairman, now that I have everybody's attention, I want to say something on this too. You know, and I've talked to the chairman about this. I've got the Upsala School District who built a new school. And when they went to the voters, they said to the voters, we're going to get 58% of our levy paid or for the school paid for by the state. So as the, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but as the property values have risen, the amount that they're getting from the state has gone down.
Yeah.
And so now they're to the point where they're only going to get about 27% from the state. The community is at odds with each other because of people that were for the building and they feel that the school board has lied to them, and they never lied to them. And so I've talked to the chairman about this. We've got to do something about this, too, because Uppsala is in a terrible fix now, going from 58% coming from the state down to 27%. And not only Uppsala, but Royalton and Pierce in my district.
Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, welcome to our world.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. When you've got all that wealth. That's raised. You've got all that wealth. Why not have a little bit of it for the schools?
But madam,
you can't take a corner off the property and
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, go down to Uppsala. All these people are farmers. This isn't lake country. This is farmland, and these folks aren't in Edina. Not that I'm picking on Edina, but this is a dire situation.
Mr. Chairman, not all of our folks are wealthy, but the property may have jumped in value because it's become desirable, and they may still want to live on it, just as your people do. That's the problem
exactly with
our reliance on the property tax.
So now,
if I can get you to get religion on this, maybe we can get something done.
I'm Catholic too, you know. Oh.
It's almost like a prayer breakfast.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to say, with regard to guilt, us Jews can share that. I was just going to thank you, Senator Coring and Mr. Dickinson, because I don't think you probably imagined when you brought this up that you were going to provide the platform for a conversation that we haven't yet had in this committee.
Yeah.
And I think that it is an important one to have, and that it has been valuable this morning. And it wasn't really a reflection of what you're asking for, which wasn't so out of the ordinary. It was more that the amount of detail you provided us with let us have that discussion. So thank
you. Sure. It clearly shows a different issue that I'm glad spurred on a great conversation.
Yeah. Your trip was well worth it.
Yes, it was.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say I'm glad I'm Lutheran.
I can take a little bit of that.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that, if there's no further questions, I'm hoping that the committee will see fit to pass this on, and so we can help
Senator
out.
Senator Olson would love to make the motion, I'm sure.
Yes, I would. I'd be happy to.
Senator Olson moves that. Let's see here. Senate File 1279. I don't think it needs any changes or anything.
No.
So, be recommended, be laid on the table and recommended for inclusion in the Omnibus Education Funding Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Thank you very much, Senator Coring and Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Senator Saxhog, do you? Senate File 1115. Welcome, Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now that you've dealt with central Minnesota, we'll move on to northern Minnesota. Senate File 1115 is a bill that will allow the International Falls School District to use its lease levy authority to purchase property or lease with an option to buy. This is similar to desegregation districts around the state. With me today is Don Langan, superintendent of the Falls School District, to give a brief presentation on the need for this legislation and answer any questions for the committee. We have, has it been passed out yet, or you just did it?
Yep.
For some of you that didn't know where International Falls was and how it was located and what was located around it, we just sent out a map.
Senator Saxhog, we found out where Brainerd was. Now, it's kind of right in the middle. You can probably see right in the middle of that map.
It's Brainerd.
And then you go north from there. So if
go north about
Mr. Dickinson
miles,
got up
right
at 4 o'clock, what time did you get up?
I can make it down here in 4 hours and 47 minutes.
Is that by air?
You take 53 and then to 35W.
You don't stop.
You don't stop.
Yeah. Oh.
No coffee drinking along the way. Superintendent Langan.
Mr. Chairman and committee, I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this morning on Senate File 1115.
If you could give your name for
my
the
name
record, please.
My name is Don Langan, Superintendent of Schools, ISD 361, International Falls.
Thank you.
The current statute in place governing lease levies is very specific in what its uses can be. There is a provision in the current statute that allows, by definition of district, those dollars to be used for purchasing or lease purchasing real properties. That definition of district in current law is limited specifically to districts that are defined as desegregation districts. International Falls is not one of those. What it produces in terms of effect is $100 a pupil unit authority for local school boards to lease buildings, if you will, for instructional purposes. They cannot be used for administrative purposes, nor can they be used for, I can't go use the money to lease a field house, for example. The difficulty that I have, and we have in International Falls, is that we cannot access those dollars. We're not leasing buildings. We have gone from 466,000 square feet of instructional space down to 215,000 instructional space. We're selling buildings. We're not leasing them. The other issues that are impacting us is that in the area of equipment, facility improvement, program development utilizing capital funds, we cannot create economies of scale. In other words, if I where I served before in St. Louis County, we could partner with neighboring districts, and if we needed a $30,000 surface planer in a shop, generally that shop was being used by a couple of districts. We can't do that. So anything that we do in ISD 361, we do in relative isolation and on our own nickel, and with very little opportunity to amortize those costs out to collaborative use. I would like to comment on the distances. We like to call that 111 miles to Bemidji and 120 miles to Grand Rapids, not going through barren and desolate country, quiet country. So this is not to disparage where I live and work, in any sense of the term. We've seen a very dramatic decline in student enrollment. Even though we have been able to reduce our facilities by almost half, during that same interval, we have reduced our student population by almost two-thirds. In 1974, we graduated exactly 300 seniors in International Falls High School. 2007, I'll be graduating 104. Now, when that decline occurs, I can't take off one square of shingles and say that's what that one pupil unit cost. I can't say, well, we'll take out two stalls and a bathroom and we'll only put 1.5 stops on an elevator. My job as a school superintendent is to provide the best opportunity for the kids that are there and not having to constantly decry the fact of the kids that we're missing. It's not fair to the ones that we have. So in terms of our isolation, inability to meet economies of scale, significant decline in student enrollment, and trying to meet our capital costs for our kids with a capital funding formula that's based on pupil units is becoming very difficult. I generate $309,000 a year in capital facilities revenue. That $309,000 to take care of our roofs, our buildings, our parking lots, our technology, our tech cycles, and it simply provides restrictions to the school board that causes them annual discomfort. What the Senate File 1115 would do would be to provide permission to the International Falls School Board to access the $100 per pupil unit lease levy for the purpose of acquiring, through lease purchase, equipment for the kids, improvements to our facilities. It would allow us to be far more creative in how we use the $309,000 we're getting right now. A couple of things that for the committee, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to just mention. Due to the encouragement of community, school board, faculty, and staff, We think that we've got a great school district, and we're looking at trying to put together a very strong technical vocational initiative. It's an initiative that is predicated on an apprenticeship model as opposed to or compared to a unit credit model. These funds would allow us to move in that direction. The second item I'd like to mention is that in 2000-2001, International Falls implemented a very, very robust technology system. A technology system that hopefully within 3 or 4 years will have every teacher's courses, programs on teacher-generated websites. Not a school website, the teacher's website. Those things take revenues. And the $309,000 that we're able to access under current statute simply will not do it. We're asking in 1115 as the permission for our school board to make that call. It would be an up to that amount. And by so doing, it's going to create some flexibility and allow us to operate, I think, with a great deal more intelligence than we're able to operate now in making capital decisions. With that, Mr. Chair, I entertain any questions that I might be able to answer.
Senator Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe Mr. Nauman, I'm interested. Do you know what 1260C40, what are the current provisions of that, and why isn't this authority currently in that provision of statute?
Mr. Chairman, a couple of clarifying points. And Senator Hand, since you brought this up, I did quickly squirrel to that statute and look through it. We have a notwithstanding section statement at the beginning of the bill that's really not necessary because we don't need to notwithstand 126C 40 sub 6 for ISD 361 because they are not subject to that section. So what we're essentially doing is granting them special authority to do something similar to what that statute provides. And under that subdivision, the legislature has provided special authority to allow the lease levy for certain districts and to use the $100 levy authority to purchase certain capital equipment. The statement of the superintendent is correct. But what may also help you in your thinking, Senator Han, is that that authority was granted for integration districts, and the money must be used specifically to implement the desegregation plan. And under the DSEG statute, all districts that are affected by it must file a plan with the department, and the commissioner must state under 126C40 sub 6 that the plan and the use of this authority helps improve desegregation. So that's why that specific carve-out was granted. I don't think that International Falls is required to file an integration plan.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Nauman, the what portion of statutes currently deals with the lease levy authority generally?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, 126C40, so we're dealing with the right area. There's just a specific carve-out that links back to the integration plan.
And so, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Nauman, so what we're doing here is saying that under the provisions of lease levy, we're going to expand that, in effect, to allow for purchasing of capital assets. Is that essentially what we're asking, being asked to do in this case? And the question would be then, generally, why wouldn't we do this for every school district? What's the reason to say we only want to allow a lease levy kind of a provision?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, that is in fact what you're being asked to do. The lease levy has historically had a $100 cap on it and has been specified for instructional space only, and it was designed originally to deal with those circumstances where a school district had a temporary increase in enrollment, a large class moving through the system, and there was some need for school districts to have some authority to lease space on a temporary basis. There have been some occasions where we've allowed school districts to go above that $100 limit for certain unusual circumstances, or as we've done on a couple of cases where a school district, a unique circumstance in a given school district, they wanted to lease administrative space because it was cheaper. But in every one of those cases, you were still dealing with leasing. Right. You weren't dealing with using the lease levy to actually purchase something, with the exception of the DSEG districts, because it was determined to help improve desegregation, so that authority was provided to those districts.
Senator Olson.
So, Mr. Chairman, is the subdivision one of that provision the one that is... is that the one that allows the $100, or is that the one that applies to the DSEG?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, Subdivision 1 provides the $100 and sets the conditions under how leases may be used and how the revenue may be raised. Subdivision 6 deals with the exception for the DSEG districts.
So, Mr. Chairman, so that's why they put the notwithstanding there. Perhaps we should discuss the policy issue that's raised here as to whether, given the changing circumstances, that flexibility shouldn't be limited to districts for DSEG purposes. Is there a Pandora's box that would be opened, or what are the consequences if we were to allow generally in that statute the use of their 100, we'd still be limited to the $100. I mean, if you left it there, I presume.
Mr. Chairman,
you weren't asking for changing the dollar amount. You were using greater flexibility.
No, you are correct, Senator Olson. There was no intent to raise $100. It's just on the use of it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hanna, I think you, Senator Olson, I think you had a couple of points there. My point with the subdivision 6 is that it wasn't necessary to notwithstand that section because they're not a DSEG district.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need that, and we could clean
that
up very easily.
But
what this bill does carry, I believe, a $139,000 levy impact. And so because the district is not levying any under the lease levy right now, the department has made the assumption that they would, under the provisions of this bill, and would generate a levy impact. And so I think that we would find a substantial fiscal note on the levy side if we were to make that, you know, make this broader. And this legislature, in its wisdom, certainly could do that, but we would have to carry a large levy impact if we did.
Probably about $100 per pupil across the state. Well, maybe not, because a certain amount of it's used. But
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hans,
and Mr. Chairman, so and just to follow on what Senator Olson was talking about, so the danger of saying, well, let's not make an exception, but let's just change the whole policy, which is sort of the question that I was getting at too. The potential would be that every school district in the state would say, well, we could sure use that money as well, so let's go out and get an additional $100 in every case where we don't currently have that limit being used, and it could be a fairly significant amount of money. And I guess the policy question would be, what is it about this particular district that would make it an exception that we should do it for this district and not for other districts?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Chairman, Senator Hand, I think you have the crux of the issue. The other policy choice for the committee would be if there are shortages on the revenue side for these kinds of expenditures, the committee could look at the operating capital revenue line in general education and choose to enhance that. And of course, that is currently an aid levy split line, so there would be some levy impacts, but we could monkey with that formula and ensure that it all falls on the levy on the aid side if the committee chose to allocate its target there.
Obviously, you know, as you were, Mr. Land, as you were talking and explaining the situation,
you know, I don't know how many other school districts have the circumstances, but it was fairly dramatic in terms of the number of declining enrollment students and your obvious location and a remote location from everything else. So there really isn't a whole lot of opportunity. I suppose International Falls or your district is too large to receive any sparsity either.
Senator Stumpf, committee, we do receive some funding on transportation sparsity, but we do not qualify for either elementary or secondary state sparsity aid.
So that would probably be another ability. And as districts get more and more remote and don't have any access to cooperative kinds of agreements.
Is it Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, sir, you were Mr. Langen.
Correct.
Yeah. When you talked about the drop in enrollment, is your community aging? Is what are some of the factors that are, do you believe that you're experiencing more of a decline than other districts in your area?
Our community is aging.
Mr. Langen.
We have had drop in enrollment due to PSEO, Rainy River Community Colleges, right next door. We are a negative districts in terms of open enrollment. We've also seen some drop of enrollment, negative impacts to online learning providers. But I think the bottom line, Senator Olson, is that our community is aging. If that factor wasn't there, the rest of the depth of the decline would not have occurred.
Mr. Chairman and Superintendent Langen, where are the ones that you're opening, that you're losing to open enrollment, where do they go?
Mr. Langen?
They will, those students that do open enroll will open enroll to South Kuching, Rainy River, or to Little Fort, Big Falls.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Superintendent Langen, do you have any idea why they do that?
There's a variety of reasons, Senator. I think that in the past there has been some dissatisfactions felt by parents and have exercised some options. But to crawl into the parents' head and say, this is the reason, they're so multifaceted with choice that I couldn't give you an intelligent response.
Thank you.
Do you know, Superintendent, what your cross-subsidy for special education is?
Not specific enough, and when I heard you ask the question to the previous testifier, I said, boy, I wish I had that number. I know it's significant. We have about a $13.4 million budget. And I do know that my out-of-district special ed tuition costs alone last year were $335,000.
And that's out of district?
Correct.
I presume that your in-district is a whole lot more than that.
Pardon?
I would imagine your in-district special ed costs are quite a bit more than that?
Yes, our in-district special ed costs will, I believe the last number I saw, was approaching $1.5 million.
Okay. Any other questions that members have? All right. Senator Saxhoag, you want to?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd move to lay this bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Yeah, I would just say that maybe I can work with you, Senator Saxhoag, and some other committee members to see if there isn't some options or what options we have in terms of.
We appreciate that, Mr. Chair and committee.
Okay. On Senator Saxhog's motion on Senate File 1115 to be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Education Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Thank you, Superintendent. And the last bill we have is Senator Weger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Senate File 12 addresses the operational costs of ice arenas. Currently, you may levy up to 90% of those costs. And prior to that, 2003, when we had the budget cuts of $4.3 billion, it had been 100% levy. This would restore that, so we're at 100% for this levy. The request came to me from North St. Paul, Maplewood, Oakdale, but it would affect 9 other districts. And just so you know, that would include International Falls. It would include Wayzata, White Bear Lake, Bemidji, Rosemont, Red Wing, Rosso, Ely, and Hermantown. To highlight the need for this, I have the business manager for North St. Paul Maplewood, Dennis Miller.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Weger. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. Senator Weger indicated in 2003 not only the ice arena levy but also the lease levy that you were just discussing were reduced from 100% funding to 90% as part of that budget reduction. In 2005, the lease levy was restored to 100% funding, but for some reason the ice arena levy was not. And I'm assuming it may have been an oversight or just because there are so few numbers of districts that actually have ice arenas that they operate. And in our district, the impact is very small. We're levying about $7,000 in 07, and so the impact for us is probably $700, but it seemed to me that it's the right thing to do. The overall, based on data I received from the department, the overall levy impact currently is $900,000 statewide. This 10% addition would be $100,000 approximately total levy impact across the state for these 10 districts. And as I said, in our district this year it's only $700, but it goes up and down depending. We net the revenues off of the expenses, and whatever's left over we're allowed to levy the difference. And so we're simply asking if you would restore that 90% to its original 100%. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is it Mr. Sullivan?
Correct.
Okay. Why did they do that to begin with? Why did they cut that levy to begin with?
I believe it was done in 2003 along with the lease levy. It was part of the $4.3 billion budget reduction that was done, and that levy, that became our cost and out of our general fund, that 10%. And when they restored the lease levy in 2005 to 100%, the ice arena levy was never restored. And so we're simply asking that be restored.
All right. And you said how many... how many facilities? I should have been. Oh, 10.
10, correct.
Okay.
10 right, districts, and they're relatively spread across
fiscal,
the state.
Just a little sheet, so okay. All right, it's pretty straightforward. The fiscal notes are on there. And the ones that I think we restored before were the lease levy, and we also did the unemployment.
Correct.
Unemployment levy. That was about it. Okay. So, Senator Weger.
Thank you. Mr. Chair,
First of all, is there any questions that members have? We did. Senator Weger.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate File 12 be laid over and considered for possible inclusion in the Senate Education Finance Omnibus Bill.
Okay, Senator Weger moves that Senate File 12 laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 Education Finance Bill. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Wieger and Mr. Sullivan and members. Okay. Tomorrow morning we have another agenda of bills to take up, and then I think that's our last hearing.
Wow.
And then we'll be working on all the stuff that we've laid on the table. So,
Mr. Chair,
can I talk to you about a bill,
Senator Rowland?
How are we going to do that? Will it be a committee bill where we're going to prioritize, or what happens? I haven't been on this committee before.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is after we get done tomorrow, I'll set up a meeting with both your caucus and my caucus, and then we'll try to sort through some of the things that we have on the table, and we'll try to put together a kind of a committee bill. Then we can bring that out and then have people look at it and discuss it and see if they want to change it or whatever they want to do to it, and then we work from there. So we'll try to use the good discussions that we've had. I think there's obviously some restrictions on total dollar amounts. I know Senator Olson and I we had real good intentions in a couple of areas that we're still searching, I think, for avenues. One is in the VOTEC area. It's an area that's obviously important to me, and I think to others on the committee, how we might reignite that interest out there in our school districts. But obviously, anytime you do something, it costs extra money, and so we're still working on it. The one thing I would mention is that I hope that I had much higher expectations this session than we did before we came in, and obviously as we just got started. So I think my expectations kind of got readjusted, obviously, when we got our target. But I'm optimistic in that I think we can make some major steps in movements in our education finance systems in the state. I was very, very pleased with the discussion we had on special ed. I think we can make some big steps forward in addressing some, some big issues. I think the state of finances in our school districts is really at an all-time low. I mean, just when you talk to school districts and organizations and groups, it just seems like financially they're really in need of some help. So I think it's actually, the big plan is probably going to not take place all in one budget cycle. I think it's going to take several budget cycles to kind of get things back in order. There's a number of good proposals the governor has laid out, changes that I think we'll certainly can adopt. I think there's some that we can't, because I think one reason, I think, is using one-time money. I think we need to not make commitments on one-time money, because that just kind of gets us into trouble. But I'm hopefully optimistic that we can all kind of get around a package that we can support. And then the next step, which I think will be made, is I think we're going to request the tax committee to look at the potential of raising some revenues. I don't know exactly what their plans are. I've had many discussions with Senator Bach, and the kind of the core discussion that we've centered around is that our committee would get basically $75 million to offset a basic property tax relief, which would offset those when we talked about the consolidated levy, it would smoothen out the differences in that in those levies, and then I think whatever revenues that the tax committee does raise over and above that our hope is that it would go into education. Senator Terrazzi.
Mr. Chairman, just I am not clear about this. So all of the proposals that came to you that did not have a hearing, that will not have a hearing because they are not scheduled for tomorrow, will not be heard until we make a decision about increasing funding or generating revenue, because we didn't – I'm concerned about after-school enrichment programs, parents' programs, youth programming. We didn't hear any bills related to that. And so does that mean that they are not going to be considered? We don't have
– Well, Senator Torres-Rae, I stopped adding up the committee kind of the cumulative committee requests 2.5 weeks ago, and it was like $2.1 billion. And I think if I had added up from up to date, it would probably be closer to like $2.5 billion. I'm suggesting that we would direct our resources as a K-12 committee more toward the basic funding of our schools, and try to we very easily could spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars on all sorts of programs. I'm thinking that it's much more important this year to try to center the money that we got, basically, and put it into the infrastructure of our schools, whether it's special ed or whether it's however we get it in there. I personally think we have a commitment to make that move, to take care of a bill that we've let accumulate, and it's not that other programs aren't worthy, but I think it's just that we're limited in resources, and we need to make our schools, like the discussion on Brainerd. When you look at the cost that they're pulling out of their regular program for funding special ed, it would almost make them whole in terms of their programs. And that's not only just true with Brainerd, but it was just true with school district after school district after school district. And it doesn't matter if it's urban, suburban, or rural. It's a cost-driven program, so the schools incur the cost. And so I think that's the reality out there. And so I think the question for us is that do we spend X millions of dollars on programs that maybe are not right in the core of our schools. Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I see having Senator Torres-Rae ask the question made me think of something that I know that Senator Torres-Rae had a bill, for example, on LEP, and I have done some work on that, and we didn't... I wasn't here for some reason. It was a good reason.
but I can't remember what it was when your bill was heard. I'm assuming we can still offer amendments.
Sure.
I understand the budgetary concern, but that we could still offer amendments to the bill as well when it's before us. Am I correct? So is it possible that you could even offer something on after school if...
But we are not going to, excuse me, Mr. Chairman and Senator Schacht, we're just not going to even have a hearing on it.
Okay.
So I think that's my concern, and I hope that, you know, I'm quite concerned about youth programming and after-school enrichment programs. That is basic in my book. I understand what you're explaining to me, of course. I think that's the dilemma that we have this year.
Sure.
But... many of these proposals, in my opinion, are basic needs of the school districts. And we're not going to even have a chance to get a hearing. And I understand the reason, but I just want that to be known, because I think it's, we are in a situation where we are really dealing not with basics, but the absolute minimum. This is not basics. And I'm quite concerned about it, Mr. Chairman, so I just want to let the committee know. I've worked with multiple organizations that were willing even to put private funding into some of the proposals that I wanted to bring before the committee. And we're not, and I'm talking about millions of dollars that we're not going to get as a result of this decision. And not that I'm against the decision, just to clarify that, you know, because you had to make this decision, we're not going to be able to do that.
Well, Senator Hamm.
And Mr. Chairman, just I don't know if this is not on that particular topic, but maybe just more generally, in the past when we've had the final bill, it seems as some occasions we have just a funding bill, in some cases we have a policy bill, and sometimes they're together. What's the intent this year, to do one education bill, or are we going to have a separate policy bill and a separate funding bill?
I think... Senator Wieger and I have talked, and I think the idea was to have one bill, which would, and I don't know if your hearings are over. No, you have one more, right?
Monday. Next Monday.
And tonight.
The committee deadlines are later. So anything that doesn't spend money can still operate.
I guess the difference this year is that the policy committee deadlines are later than the finance deadline. So we have to have our bill has to be. Give us the time frame.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that our bill needs to be completed in this division on the 23rd, which would be next Friday. So that would be
next week.
We could operate earlier than that if the ducks are in a row, so to speak, at the committee's pleasure. But the 23rd is the day that we've been instructed by the Finance Committee to have our bill completed in this division.
So you can back up at least several days when we get, hopefully we'll get something into your hands, so that you can look at it and work it over. Senator Bonhoff?
Mr. Chair and Senator Torres-Ray, that bill that you're speaking about was heard in education policy.
Right.
So, Senator Wieger, I do trust that he brings forward the things that haven't been heard here but were heard in ed policy and actually represents our committee with Senator Stump. So I don't worry very much about the things that got heard in policy. Not that they're going to be included, but I trust that the process works that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Committee is adjourned.
Senator Scogin, can I speak to you?
Right. I don't think it's covered. It's not.